What if your brand problem and your operations problem are the same problem viewed from opposite ends? One framework measures how the outside world perceives you. The other specifies how your inside world should work. The surprising finding. They share the same 48-parameter structure. Three ideas today. First, how brand perception and operations design are two views of one system, not two separate disciplines. Second, the 8x6 matrix that connects them. Third, why every operational decision you make is also a brand signal, whether you intend it or not.
Yeah, that's the big one.
So, welcome to this deep dive. Our mission today is pretty ambitious. We're going to completely rewire how you think about, you know, that artificial divide between marketing and operations.
Right, the classic silos.
Exactly. And to do this, we're drawing on a really fascinating stack of sources. We've got the Convergence article, known as SBTC2, a pretty heavy-hitting mathematical paper on the R5 specification and possibility.
Well, that one is dense.
It is, yeah. And we also have the foundational papers for two groundbreaking theories, organizational schema theory, or OST, and spectral brand theory, which is SBT.
Yeah, and by the end of this conversation, you will honestly never look at a standard operating procedure or a brand campaign, for that matter, the exact same way again.
I really don't think you can.
No, definitely not. And actually, to really get us in the right headspace for this, I want you to visualize something. If you're watching the video feed, you'll see my backdrop just visually shifted.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it totally did.
Right. So think of the most vibrant, emotionally charged brand you love. Picture all those abstract feelings, the colors, the vibe, basically this nebulous, colorful, perceptual cloud.
Okay, okay.
Now, in your mind's eye, just strip all of that away. Replace that fuzzy cloud with a strict, glowing architectural blueprint. That mental shift is basically exactly what we're doing today. We are taking the abstract world of brand perception and mapping it directly onto the concrete, highly structured world of operational design.
I love that visualization. I mean, it perfectly captures the historical problem we're trying to solve here. Because for, what, 50 years?
At least 50 years, yeah.
Yeah, management science has just built this massive wall between these two worlds. You have marketing departments over here managing the brand, talking about feelings and resonance.
Yep.
And then you have operations departments over there running the business, talking about supply chains and throughput. And maybe, just maybe, they meet once a quarter to try and, like, align.
To align. Yeah, I love that corporate buzzword.
Right. But to understand this 48-parameter structure we mentioned in the grab, we have to tear that wall down completely. We have to fundamentally unite them.
Exactly.
So let's ground this by defining the two frameworks guiding us today.
Yeah.
SBT, spectral brand theory, is the business observed from the outside.
Right.
It measures how different groups of observers, so customers, the media, competitors, perceive the brand across 8 specific dimensions.
Right. And contrast that with OST, organizational schema theory. That is the business observed from the inside.
From the inside. Okay.
Yeah. It maps how operations cascade.
Yeah. So imagine you're the operator of a high-end specialty coffee shop. You walk behind the counter and you tell your barista to change the espresso grind size by, say, exactly 0.5 steps on the grinder. What just happened in the business?
Well, from an operational standpoint, so looking through the strict lens of OST, you just initiated a level 3 process change.
Right.
You altered the physical parameters of the extraction, the water contact time, the flow rate, the temperature interaction. You changed the physical particle.
But let's look at it from the other side. I'm the customer standing across the counter.
Right. You're observing.
Exactly. I have no idea what you just did. I can't see the grinder dial. But when you hand me that cup and I take a sip, the taste profile has fundamentally changed.
Mm-hmm.
It's suddenly sweeter, maybe less bitter. So from my perspective, through the lens of SBT, the experiential dimension of your brand just shifted.
And notice how those two things aren't just related. They are completely simultaneous. The grind setting is a single parameter that exists in both frameworks at once.
Wow, yeah.
It's not that an operational change, like, caused a separate brand event to happen later. It is the exact same physical reality observed from two different frames of reference. The operator sees a process constraint. The customer tastes a brand experience.
Which leads to the absolute core takeaway for you listening today. And I want to state this as clearly as possible. Your brand is your operations perceived by observers. There is no other source.
Right.
There is no magical brand substance just hovering in the air.
I wish there was. It'd make marketing a lot easier. But no. Once you accept that premise, that the brand and the operations are the exact same system, The inevitable conclusion is that they have to intersect perfectly. The structures just map onto each other.
Which brings us to the visual core of this entire theory, the matrix.
The 8x6 matrix.
Yes. I want you to picture this specific visual in your mind. Imagine a glowing grid. It has 8 horizontal rows and 6 vertical columns.
Let's walk through those 8 rows first.
Yeah, so these represent the SBT perception dimensions,
yeah.
The ways the outside world measures you. You have the semiotic, what the brand looks and sounds like, the narrative, the story being told,
right.
The ideological, the moral or ethical stance, the experiential, the actual physical or digital product interaction, the social, the sense of community or status.
And then you have the economic, race, the perception of price, value, and fairness. The cultural, how you align with the current zeitgeist. And finally, the temporal, your heritage, continuity, and longevity.
Okay, so that's the outside view.
Yeah.
Now, intersecting those 8 rows are 6 vertical columns representing the OST operational cascade, the inside view.
Yep, the internal plumbing.
Right. It starts at level 0, purpose, why the business exists. That flows down to level 1, strategy, how you plan to win. Then level 2, capability, the tools, infrastructure, and talent you build.
Down to level 3, process the repeatable systems you run. Level 4, execution, the actual moments of action. And finally, level 5, signal the tangible outputs generated by those actions.
So when you cross those 8 perception rows with those 6 operational columns, you get exactly 48 intersecting cells.
Exactly 48.
Those 48 cells represent the entire parameter space of a business. And as you look at this imaginary grid, the sources suggest color coding it based on your company's reality.
Yeah, this is where it gets really practical.
Some cells are filled in green, meaning those operations are actively specified, documented, and managed. Some are amber, meaning they're only partially specified, maybe relying on tribal knowledge or just habit. But inevitably, some of those cells are completely empty.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I want to push back a bit on the framework, because if a cell is empty, let's say the intersection of strategy and the temporal dimensions, that should mean nothing is happening there. Can a business just decide to opt out of a dimension entirely?
Like they just choose not to play that game.
Yeah. Like, hey, we're a disruptive tech startup. We don't do heritage or history, so we'll just leave that temporal box blank.
What's fascinating here is that the framework mathematically proves the opposite. Leaving a cell in the 8x6 matrix empty is not neutral. It generates a null signal, and silence has a structure too.
Silence has a structure too.
Wow. Let's use your tech startup example. If you actively ignore the temporal dimension, you don't document your history, you don't talk about longevity, you offer no long-term guarantees that empty cell doesn't mean the observer just skips that dimension.
They still measure it.
They absolutely still measure it. But what they perceive is a null signal, which translates to feeling like the company is fly-by-night, unstable, or a flight risk.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Think about a luxury watch brand that never discounts its products. That empty cell in their economic promotional strategy isn't a lack of action. It's a massive booming signal of exclusivity.
Right, because observers notice what is missing.
Exactly. The silence itself becomes a structural part of how they perceive you.
Yeah.
You might look at the empty box and see no operational cost, but the observer looks at the empty box and perceives meaning. You simply cannot opt out of perception.
That is profound. But honestly, if I'm a COO or an operations director listening right now, and you just handed me a 48-cell grid where even the empty boxes are screaming signals at my customers, I'm having a minor panic attack.
Oh, totally. It's overwhelming.
My immediate instinct is to pull out a massive spreadsheet, rally my department heads, and start writing a perfect standard operating procedure and SOP for all 48 boxes. I want green lights across the board. I want to control every single signal. Is that actually possible?
It is entirely impossible, and there is heavy mathematical proof to back that up. This is where we bring in the R5 paper from our sources, which deals specifically with specification and possibility.
Okay, hit me with the math.
When you have a 48-dimensional space, the volume of possible configurations is staggering. Because these parameters interact non-linearly, at a basic level of resolution, that space contains 10 to the 48th power distinguishable specifications.
Wait, 10 to the 48th?
Yeah.
For a normal business?
Yes.
That sounds absurd. There are only about 10 to the 20th grains of sand on Earth.
It is astronomically large because of combinatorial explosion. If you change a process in the economic row, it cascades and affects the execution in the social row.
I see.
No organization, no matter how well-funded, not even the most valuable companies on Earth, has the resources, the coordination capacity, or the cognitive bandwidth to exhaustively specify and manage every single parameter independently.
So if you try to write an SOP for every possible intersection,
your organization will grind to an absolute halt under the weight of its own bureaucracy. The space is geometrically just too vast to cover.
Okay, so this feels like a trap. If we can't specify everything, but we know every single operation creates a brand perception, are we just paralyzed? Like, how do we actually build a coherent business without managing 10 to the 48th rules?
Right, the million-dollar question.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Our sources introduce a concept that software engineers will immediately recognize, but they apply it brilliantly to business, test-driven development, or TDD.
Yeah, this is such a great analogy.
In software engineering, you don't just sit down, write thousands of lines of random code, run the program, and hope it does what you want. You write the test first.
Right.
The test says, when a user clicks this specific button, this specific menu should open. Once that test is defined, you write the absolute minimum amount of code required to make that test pass.
Exactly. And applying this to the 8x6 matrix, you don't write 48 independent operational rules. You specify the higher level of the test, which is the desired customer perception, and that mathematically constrains the lower levels of the code, which is the actual operations.
And in organizational schema theory, this mechanism is called the cascade structure, right?
Exactly. Those six columns we talked about, purpose, strategy, capability, process, execution, signal, they aren't independent buckets. They flow downward.
Okay.
Level zero, the purpose, acts as an ultimate constraint on level one, strategy. Strategy constrains level two, capability, and so on.
Let's walk a real example all the way down the cascade.
Sure. Let's say your level zero purpose is providing absolute sanctuary for discerning travelers. That is your master acceptance test.
Okay, I'm with you.
Because that test exists, it mathematically constrains your lower levels. You cannot adopt a level one strategy of aggressive, bottom-of-the-barrel price competition. That would fail the test.
Right. And moving further down, that strategy dictates your level two capability. You can't hire untrained, minimum-wage, temporary staff. You have to build a capability of highly empathetic, career hospitality professionals.
And that capability constrains your level three process. A traditional, crowded front desk check-in line fails the sanctuary test.
Oh, absolutely it does.
So your process becomes an in-room private check-in, which dictates the level four execution. The specific, quiet tone of voice the staff uses when they hand over the key, which finally results in the level five signal. The heavy, solid brass feel of the key itself, sending a massive semiotic and experiential signal of quality.
Wow. So by clearly defining the top of the cascade, you drastically reduce the effective dimensionality of the grid.
You do. You don't have to specify 10 to the 48 things. You make few high-level, rigorous choices, and they automatically eliminate trillions of incompatible operational choices downstream.
Understanding that cascade perfectly explains why traditional brand alignment workshops almost always fail.
Oh, yeah. They almost always do.
You know the exact kind of corporate offsite I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Everyone goes to a hotel. They write words like innovation, sustainability, and integrity on sticky notes. The CEO declares these the new brand values.
We've all been there.
And then everyone goes back to work on Monday, and absolutely nothing changes in the customer experience.
Right, because they fail because they only touch level zero, the purpose, or maybe level one, the strategy.
Exactly. They talk about values, but they don't trace those values down the operational cascade to change the actual processes and capabilities that generate the signals. You cannot align perception simply by talking about values. You align perception by changing the operational code that is currently failing the test.
Think about it. If the offsite sticky note says your brand is about sustainability, which is an ideological dimension goal, but your level three sourcing process still strictly prioritizes the cheapest, least ethical supplier to maximize quarterly margins.
Yeah, your brand perception will fail the test.
The observers won't see the sticky notes from your workshop. They will see the plastic packaging, they will read the news about your supply chain, and they will perceive the truth. The operational mechanism is the brand signal.
So knowing the math and understanding the cascade is one thing, but how do you, the listener, actually use this 8x6 matrix in your day job? Let's build a practical bridge here because this framework completely redefines how departments should function.
Let's split this up.
Yeah, let's talk to the brand professionals first. If you're a CMO or a brand strategist and you run an SBT audit, maybe you find out that your brand has a severely weak experiential signal.
Customers are buying the product, but they just aren't feeling the quality or the premium nature you promised.
Traditionally, the marketing team's reflex is to say, we need a new ad campaign highlighting our premium quality, or Let's redesign the packaging to look more expensive.
Yeah, put a nice veneer on it.
But under this framework, the answer does not live in a marketing communications brief.
Because the brand is just the perception of the operations. You cannot advertise your way out of an operational reality. If the experiential signal is weak, the answer lives deep in the OST operational cascade. You literally have to act like a forensic investigator and trace the bad signal backward.
So asking, why is the experience failing? Is it a level 2 capability issue, meaning your customer service software is outdated and dropping tickets?
Or is it a level 3 process issue? The actual flow for returning an item has too much friction. The brand professional's job is no longer just to paint a pretty picture over the operations. Their job is to act as a specification engineer, taking the failing perceptual test and working directly with operations to fix the underlying code.
And on the flip side, let's look at the operations professionals listening. The COOs, the supply chain managers, the process engineers. This matrix reveals that every single process you run is emitting a brand signal. Your work is not just internal plumbing.
No, it is the product itself.
Think about your delivery service level agreement, your SLA. If you promise 2-day shipping and your logistics process regularly delivers in 5, that isn't just a supply chain hiccup.
No, the mechanism of that delay translates directly into an experiential signal to the customer that your brand is entirely unreliable.
Think about your returns policy. If your level 3 process requires a customer to jump through hoops, print their own labels, and pay a 15% restocking fee, that is a profound social signal. It tells them they aren't trusted or valued by the community they bought into.
Exactly. Or think about a dynamic pricing algorithm. If your level 4 execution software automatically surges the cost of an umbrella when it detects rain, the customer feels exploited.
Right.
That creates a massive negative economic signal about how your brand extracts value. The algorithm literally wrote the brand emotion.
It really did.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the 48-parameter view finally solves a decades-old corporate dysfunction. It provides a shared language. It lets the CMO and the COO sit in the exact same room and talk about the exact same thing using the exact same matrix.
It's beautiful, really. The CMO can say, to win this market, we need to hit a 9 out of 10 on our cultural resonance score.
And instead of rolling their eyes at marketing fluff, the COO can look at the matrix and say, okay, to pass that cultural test, our level 3 sourcing process needs to mandate partnerships with local artisans. That will increase our unit economics by 4%, so we need to adjust our level 1 strategy.
It becomes a direct, traceable, mathematical translation between abstract perception and physical reality.
It takes the emotion, the guessing, and the siloed turf wars completely out of it.
I want to speak directly to these COOs and operations leaders listening right now. Every process you run emits brand signals, whether you intend it or not. Your delivery time is an experiential signal. Your pricing structure is an economic signal. Your hiring decisions are a cultural signal. In the AI era, these signals become measurable and traceable, which means they become manageable. You are not just running the plumbing, you are literally rendering the brand into existence every single day.
Yeah, that's such a crucial point.
If you run a multi-brand or franchise organization, Episode 7 covers how portfolio and franchise structures amplify or destroy coherence across the 8x6 space. If you want to go deeper on how OST works as a standalone framework, Episode 6 covers the Orgiz metadata thesis and what it means for how you run your operations.
And before we sign off, I want to leave you with one final, slightly provocative puzzle to mull over on your own.
Let's hear it.
Throughout this discussion, we've talked about how this matrix maps everything your business does. But we are moving rapidly into an era where artificial intelligence can analyze massive amounts of data in seconds.
Right. AI changes everything.
It really does. Because if AI can now perfectly map and instantly clone the 8x6 operational matrix of a successful competitor, copying their processes, their pricing algorithms, their observable signals, then visible, perfect consistency will no longer be a competitive advantage.
Because anyone can copy the green cells on the grid.
Exactly. Anyone can copy the green cells. So the only true moat left will be the dark signals, the structural absences we talked about earlier, the things a brand deliberately restricts, the things it explicitly chooses not to do.
Because an AI can't scrape what isn't there.
Precisely. They can't easily scrape or replicate those dark signals because they literally don't exist in the data trail. So the question to ask yourself as you look at your own matrix is, what is the most powerful thing your operations are refusing to do today?
The power of what isn't there. A brilliant final lens for that 48-cell blueprint. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.